Blessed be God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Grant, O merciful God, that your church, being gathered together in unity by your Holy Spirit, may show forth your power among all peoples to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festive gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous and made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking, for if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised. Yet one more, I will not shake only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for indeed our God is a consuming fire. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over, was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight, began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me tell you a couple of stories. Many years ago, when I was a young priest, I told you it was a long time ago, I was helping out at a vacation Bible school. And we were in church at one point. It was an old church with all the traditional liturgical appointments. And a little boy, probably 6 or 7, sat down in the bishop's chair. You know, the chair that traditionally is reserved for the bishop. And even when the bishop's not present, it's a symbol and a reminder of his leadership. Anyway, this little boy sat down in the bishop's chair. And the priest who was leading the session went over, grabbed the kid, fairly shouted at him, "You never sit in that chair." Well, the little boy was mortified, of course, and I wanted to throttle the priest. And I've often wondered just what kind of effect that had on that child's relationship with church. Another story. When I was at St. Luke's Church in Jackson, Tennessee, I also served as chaplain to the Episcopal students at Lambeth College, which was a fine little Methodist school. St. Luke's Church had a tradition of having Lenten noonday organ recitals or concerts. And before the concert began, we always had a brief prayer service. And this event attracted people from all over the area, the majority not Episcopalians. And as you know, the majority of Protestants like to talk a lot before the service. I was in the sacristy getting vested, and the noise out in the nave was thunderous. Lots of talking, lots of laughing. When all of a sudden, whew, absolute silence. Well, after the concert, I went up to an usher and I asked what in the world had happened to cause the sudden cessation of noise. And he said, "Well, you know that young man from the college that you've had play the organ from time to time? Well, he went up to that group of women who were talking and laughing so loudly and handed Mrs. Jones a note. And they immediately hushed. Well, that afternoon, I went by the young man's dorm room and asked him to tell me what had happened. He said, well, you know how you said in the confirmation class that it is our tradition to be quiet before a service begins? Yeah. He said, well, I just wrote a note to that effect and gave it to those women who were making all the noise, and they hushed up. I told him that technically he was right, but it probably wasn't a good idea to give the note to the wife of the president of the college. Well, stop and think of what kind of welcome that was to those folks. Think any of them were inclined to come back? So, why do I tell you those stories this morning? It's because of the scene in this morning's gospel lesson. It's about how you act in church, or more accurately, how you act in synagogue. Luke tells about the time that Jesus was in synagogue and healed this old woman who was stooped over and crippled. And he gets a dressing down from the leader of the synagogue. You don't do any work on the Sabbath. You don't even heal on the Sabbath. You are out of line, Jesus. And Jesus calls the leaders of the synagogue hypocrites, saying, in effect, get your priorities straight. What's more important, observing the Sabbath laws or relieving the suffering of this woman? Now note, at the end of the story, Luke tells us all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. The congregation was cheering Jesus on. Remember, Jesus was a devout Jew. He was regular at his attendance at synagogue. Most Friday nights, that's where you could find him, worshiping, teaching with his fellow Jews, honoring his Jewish traditions. But he kept pushing them. And let me tell you, he pushes us to get our priorities straight. Jesus was going to meet people's needs, even if it meant bending or breaking some of the Sabbath laws. Luke's story raises the question for us. Do our religious traditions get in the way of God? Do our religious traditions get in the way of God? It should make us think about our religious practices and traditions. It should make us think about how we might make it hard for folks to feel included in our community of faith. We love the Episcopal way of doing things, or we wouldn't be here. But let's face it, our liturgy, our traditions can be a stumbling block for strangers. We need to be aware and beware of putting unnecessary obstacles in the way of someone's worship of God. One more story from my past. When I was in college, I worked at a service station, and back then they really were service stations. I worked there to earn extra money to make ends meet. And one Saturday night, as we were closing up, a fellow who worked with me told me he didn't have a place to go to that night. His wife had kicked him out. Too much drinking, too much running around. Now, this was a fellow who was always unkempt and dirty. Sometimes you just can't get the dirt and grease out from under your fingernails. And sometimes he smelled pretty ripe. Well, I felt sorry for him. Told him he could spend the night at my apartment. And he bunked out on the couch. The next morning after breakfast, I told him I was going to church, and I invited him to come with me. He hesitated. and then said, no. And then he added, I wouldn't fit in. I wouldn't fit in. He left, and I went on to church. And as I thought about it, I knew he was right. He would not fit in. And yet this was a man who needed the healing touch of Christ, just as much as that crippled woman in the synagogue. He needed to be healed. He needed to be loved. He needed to be accepted. And yet I knew what he knew. He wouldn't fit in. The sign down on the corner of Highway 58 reads, "The Episcopal Church welcomes you." Does it? What if you don't look like us? What if you don't dress like us? What if you don't act like us? What if you don't worship like us? We need to be careful. Jesus just might upset our apple cart. So the question for us today, do our religious traditions get in the way of God? Luke, in this morning's story, points to God reframing the Sabbath and our relationships, giving us a new way to look at our worship and our life in the community of faith. We are led to celebrate and praise God along with the Jewish congregation in that synagogue. They were cheering Jesus for showing them what was important. When God is up to something, prepare to be unbound. Just as that daughter of Abraham was unbound that day. God just keeps showing up in our lives and in our community of faith. And he keeps asking us to get our priorities straight. He keeps drawing the circle just a little wider and gives a vision to his people that allows us to rejoice over the loosing of every form of bondage. When we gather around this table, where Christ himself presides, we sometimes, glimpse the great and glorious thing that God is doing. And we cheer, because he is enabling us to welcome all to the supper of the Lamb. Amen.
Let us stand and together profess our faith in the reading of the Nicene Creed, found on page 11 in our pamphlet. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, and for us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Church of God, that it may be filled with truth and love, and be found without fault at the day of your coming, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Michael, our presiding bishop, for George, our own bishop, for all bishops and other ministers, and for all the holy people of God, we pray to you, O Lord. For all who fear God and believe in you, Lord Christ, that our divisions may cease and that all may be one as you and the Father are one, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in positions of public trust, especially Barack, our president, Bill and Nathan, our governors, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, for those who are present, and for those who are absent, that we may be delivered from hardness of heart and show forth your glory in all that we do, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those on our prayer list, Margaret,
Jean, Steve, Nicole, J.R., Blair, Michelle, Joan, Kevin, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jane, Martha, Renee, Russell, Jane, Ryan, Teddy, Richard, Wendell, Green, Jeff, Regina, Irene, Larry, June, Michael, Joe, Margaret, Laura, Taylor, Dwayne, Shay, Margaret, Dawn,
and for all who have commended themselves to our prayers, for our families, friends, and neighbors, that being freed from anxiety, they may live in joy, peace, and health, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died in the communion of your church, and those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all the saints, they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Are there other intercessions? We pray for the flood victims in Louisiana. We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Wendell Allen, Beth Carpenter Lackey, and Charlie Ingram. Rejoicing in the fellowship of the ever-blessed Virgin Mary, blessed Thaddeus, and all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all our life to Christ our God. To you, O Lord our God.
Lord, hear the prayers of your people and what we have asked faithfully. Grant that we may obtain effectually to the glory of your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Peace. Good. Ask you all to be seated, please. I only have one announcement that I would remind you of, and that has to do with the insert that you'll find in today's bulletin. We're in the beginning process of selecting a new bishop for our diocese, and this is part and parcel of the process. We encourage you to go online and take the survey that you'll find there. Toward that end, your vestry will be electing delegates to the next diocesan convention. We'll be doing that in September. And these are the people who will go to the annual convention in February and then return in the late summer, about a year from now, for the election of the bishop. So if you would like to be one of those persons who will be electing the next bishop, get in touch with a member of the vestry. The list is on the back, and let them know by the next vestry meeting in September. But again, get your input in by using this survey. Are there any other announcements? If not, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise. At your command, all things came to be, the vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law. And in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace. And therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. So, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, Leah, and Rachel, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we're bold to say, "Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
and as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
The gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, remember that life is short, and we have too little time to gladden the hearts of those who travel the way with us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen. Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.